Hare Krishna, our great fortune once again to hear His Holiness Jai Dvaita Swami Maharaj Ji addressing to all the Bhakti Shastri devotees in Sridham Mayapur on 21st of November 2013 on Bhagavad Gita, second chapter. Hare Krishna.
Dehi nosmin yata dehe kumaram jovanam jara. Tata dehantara praptir dhira satra namuyati. I won't spend a lot of time explaining this verse. It's often explained. This word dhira is very important. Dhira Prabhupada translates as sober. A sober person. A person who's not overwhelmed by the material energy, dhira, a thoughtful, sober person, he can see this. He's not bewildered. It's implied that Bhishma and Drona and so on are not going to die, but they're going to get new, young bodies. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that?
Troublesome?
What's troublesome?
To get new bodies?
Yeah, but that Krishna will come to that later. Everybody has to die. But if I die now, then I'll get a nice young body. What's wrong with that?
I've heard the explanation that one doesn't want to cause any other creature.
That may be there, but the point is that, as Krishna will explain, no one's going to get killed here. Their bodies are only going to change, and that's inevitable. Okay, so I won't go deeply into this verse because it's so often discussed. But it's often discussed for good reason, a very important verse.
I guess I don't fully understand. What's the fault in killing a bug or something? It's almost like you're...
No fault, except you're not authorized. Mm-hmm. Lizards do it all the time, no problem. They're authorized. But you're not authorized. Matras prashas tu kantiya shi toshna sukadu pradaha. Agama payano nityas tam stiksha subharasa. This is also important. Krishna's advising tolerance. That there's the circumstances are sometimes pleasing, sometimes distressing, and one has to tolerate that. Agama apayana, anitya. Anitya means it's temporary. So it comes, it goes. Just like summer and winter, they come, they go. You have to tolerate that, that's all. Sometimes there's happiness, sometimes there's distress. So one has to learn to be even-minded in both circumstances. Matras prashas tukantya. The so-called happiness or distress comes from contact with the body in the cold season. The hot water seems very nice. The cold water doesn't seem very nice. But the same water in the hot season, same cold water, that's nice. So the water itself is neither good nor bad. It just seems good or bad under certain circumstances. So one has to tolerate. That's the conclusion. Okay. And in the next verse, the Lord continues the same thought. Yam hina vyatyantye te purusham purusharshabha samadukha sukham dhiram somrita tvaya kolpate. There's that same word, dhira, comes up several times. Dhira. A sober person. Just like a person who's giddy, or you know, like women are sometimes like Everything's like they're you know, can be flighty. Men can also be flighty, but it's sort of a stereotypical thing. But the person who's sober, like, okay. So one is advised to be sober, not to be carried away by this, carried away by that, sober. When there's happiness, he's not, ah! And when there's distress, it's not, ah! Sama dukkha sukham, sama sukha dukkha. Sama means equal, the same. Okay. I'll give you an example of Gita. I have had a godbrother, Sri Bhuvanath Prabhu. Some of you know him or know about him. One very nice godbrother. And he was diagnosed, a very enthusiastic preacher, and he was diagnosed with cancer. And you only have X amount of time. Short time. So then he was British. I happened to see him at Bhaktivedanta Manor. So I said to him, Sri Bhuvanath, how are you doing? I'm going to die. You know, just like it's going to rain on Tuesday. I'm going to die. Not, I'm going to die. Even-minded. Okay. I live, I die. Other examples could be cited of other devotees. Our godbrother, Sridhar Maharaj, he's a very jovial person. In his last days also, he had considerable physical trouble. He was here in Mayapur. And you'd ask him, how are you doing? He said, never felt better in my life. Sama sukha dukkham dhira. Sa amrita tvaya kalpata. Such a person is eligible for liberation. Rupa Goswami also says, vacho vegam manasa krodha vegam. That a person who tolerates the urges of the senses, the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the urges of anger, he tolerates. In Bhagavatam also, kanduyanena karayori vidupa dupa. This sex enjoyment is just an insignificant thing. What is that? Yan maitanadi griha medhi sukham hi tuchcham. Prahlad says it's like scratching an itch. So one has to become, he says, dhira. Prahlad Maharaj. Dhira means that why should I scratch? The more I scratch, the more it itches. The solution is not to scratch, it's to control the senses. To tolerate. Prabhupada gives an example that even in brahmacharya life there may be some sex desire. Came, it will go. I tolerate that. Because we tolerate some pain, or we tolerate that it's cold, or we tolerate that it's too hot. Heat of tatra. Movement. Arjuna's advice, we have to tolerate these things. Yes?
Maharaj is a translation written to return one must learn to tolerate. And the Prabhupada in his purpose written, one has to follow the prescribed rules, the regulation of the religious principles. Even after following, we see that there, especially me, get upset and happy in all the conditions.
What?
That in the stress condition I get upset and in the happy condition I get joyful. So how to become
that,
someone?
That in the happy condition you become joyful. One has to tolerate. That okay, it's not that there will be no distress, but all right, it comes and it goes. So now it's trouble, all right. And the specific reference is, in the performance of my duty there may be some distress. It's like I have to get up early in the morning and take my bath. So that may not always be fun. It may involve some trouble, some sensory discomfort. Anyway, I have to do it.
Maharaj, not that. I mean, in our practical life, we see that there are happy conditions also and there are bad conditions also.
True. And if you just go after the happy ones and lament over the unhappy ones, your life will be a mess, as most people's lives are. When things are going bad, then they're shochati, kanchati. When things are going great, then so their life is all peaks and valleys, and they're pulled this way and that way. They're in the business of trying to increase their happiness and somehow avoid their distress.
So Maharaj, when that point will come, when we will become liberated from the question?
When will we?
When that point will come, even after falling...
When you chant Hare Krishna and become Krishna conscious, that point will come. Or, take it a different way, it's not just the point. The more you chant Hare Krishna and become Krishna conscious, the more you'll be able to tolerate and be equal in happiness and distress.
Maharaj, if we are having distress condition and we are chanting, our mind automatically goes there.
Yeah, therefore you have to practice so that your mind doesn't automatically go there. When your practice means that your mind will automatically go to Krishna. So that takes practice. The materialistic person is absorbed, his mind is absorbed in his happiness and his distress. And the Krishna conscious person says, okay, there's some happiness, there's some distress. Well, what did I expect? It comes, it goes. And the materialist, by trying to maximize his happiness and reduce his distress, he puts himself in greater and greater distress. That's what actually happens. And the Krishna conscious person, by tolerating, he actually becomes Amritatvaya Kalpate, gets eternal happiness.
It will take time.
It will take time. Anything good takes time.
I want to ask, what happens with the intensity when he quits his body? I mean, is he conscious or is it like my face and dream, start migrating?
When he's in the process of transmigrating, like after he's died and he's moving on? That's described in third canto. Read third canto, the movements of the living entities in those chapters, Bhagavad Gita, find out all about it. Okay. Just like Prabhupada sometimes used to speak about inconvenience, what other people would be bitching about, which is American for complaining severely about, I would say, so we are experiencing some inconvenience on account of old age. That's dira. That's not, oh, I've got a headache, oh, I've got a this, oh, I've got a that. Oh, my bones, oh, you didn't hear Prabhupada complaining about this and that. Some inconvenience is there. Even in the most severe difficulty. Follow me. Na sato vidite bhavo, na bhavo vidite sataha. Ubhayor apidrishton tas. Tvanios tatvadarshi bhi. Tatvadarshi bhi means seers of tattva, the truth. What do they see? Na sato vidite bhavo. Prabhupada explains these two words. Sat and asat. Those words have different meanings in different contexts, but here it means existent and non-existent. And Prabhupada explains that existent means permanently existent. And non-existent means not permanently existent. Prabhupada gave the example of a dream. The dream is there, but it's not permanently existing. It comes and it goes, so it's not considered real. I mean, it's as real as anything else, right? You feel pain in a dream, you feel fear in a dream, you feel happiness in a dream. So how is it not real? Not real because it comes and goes. You wake up 2 minutes later and it's gone. Your throne, your queen, your, you know, it's all disappeared. And so Prabhupada said, our day, you have night dreams and you have daydreams. The daydream also disappears. Now I'm President of the United States, or now I'm a this, I'm a that. That's also a dream. It's not sat, it's not eternal, it's not permanent. In that sense, it's not existent. It's not existent means always existent. That's existent. Existing means always exist. That's sat. Like we say, Krishna's body is sat chit ananda. That means his body exists. What does it mean that it exists? It means it always exists. And this body is asat. It means it doesn't always exist. So it's not substantial in that sense. So na asato. So how is it analyzed? Na asato vidite bhavo. Na abhavo vidite sita. The non-existence doesn't endure, and the existent never changes. Never goes out of existence. Ubhayor api drishton tas. Anta means the end. The sages, the seers of the truth have concluded this by analyzing the matter all the way to the end. Conclusion. Conclusion means the end. They've looked at the matter from beginning to end, and this is what they've concluded. What's existent and what's non-existent? This body is non-existent. Here today, gone tomorrow. And the soul is existent. That's what they've concluded. Any question about that? Very important verse also. All these verses are very important. Avinashi tu tad vidhi yena sarvam idam tatam vinasham abhiyasyasya nakaschit kartum arhati. Now Krishna is going to be describing the nature of the soul. Avinashi, you can't, it's imperishable. Vinash means destroy. Avinashi, indestructible. Never destroyed, imperishable. Avinashi tu tad vidhi yena sarvam idam tatam, by which the entire body is pervaded. What is it by which the body is pervaded? Consciousness. I say to my finger, come on, scratch my head. My finger comes. Consciousness is there throughout the body. Yena sarvam idam tatam. Vinasham avyayasyasya nakashchit kartum arhati. No one can do it. No one can destroy the that which can't be destroyed.
What would be the most logical way to show that consciousness is not just an emanation from the brain?
That's a big question. Good. What's the best way to show that consciousness is not just an emanation from the brain? Well, there's lots of best ways. It's a big, big topic. One thing is you can say, show me how it happens. You show me how consciousness, the brain is, actually, you know the best way? Read Sataputta Prabhu's book, Mechanistic and Non-Mechanistic Science. Mechanistic and non-mechanistic science. For those who have a little bit of a scientific mind, not that you have to be as technically minded, but we run into scientific arguments all the time, read Sataputta's book. Richard Thompson. Mechanistic and non-mechanistic science, available from Motilal Varnashi Das, who will deliver it anywhere in India. Very valuable book. Avinashi, mechanistic and non-mechanistic science. You'll find many, many very good examples there. The scientists, this is essentially what Prabhupada established as the battlefield, and especially the battlefield where he wanted his scientists to take up arms. Because the modern worldview is that consciousness is what they call an epiphenomenon of matter. It's an emanation of something that bubbles up from matter. And essentially this entire scientific worldview, what's called a reductionistic worldview, everything just boils down to matter. Then Sataputta Prabhupada gave the challenge, show me how. Science means demonstration. The Prabhupada said, you know, the chicken comes from the egg, so you do it. I'll give you some yellow, I'll give you some white, you call for whatever elements you want, and demonstrate how you get consciousness from matter. Here's the body, all the elements, why can't you bring back consciousness? Demonstrate. Science means demonstration. It's easy to say consciousness comes from matter. Now tell me how consciousness comes from matter. Not just as a slogan, but show me. By what process does consciousness come from matter? How do you take something as simple as matter? Sataputta was a mathematician. And he said, you know, you can take material structures and explain them. You know, basically you can describe a simple material structure in equations that, you know, maybe take up a page or two. Simple, relatively. The known laws of physics and geometry and so on. Pretty simple. Now you show me, then you look at the simplest, like one-celled living being, and you see such complexity. Now you explain to me how you got that complexity from such simplicity. How does the matter, which is basically supposed to be very simple, that's the idea of the project, to start with something very simple, just matter, and get something which turns out to be very complex. How does that happen? And he demonstrates in one essay that by something called information theory, that doesn't work. There's lots and lots of good scientific arguments in that book. Otherwise, common sense. You show me how from matter you get consciousness. You show me. Otherwise, we take it on Krishna's authority that we always see that from consciousness, matter is manipulated. But show me where matter just boom produces consciousness. But otherwise, we just take it on Krishna's authority. Otherwise, another thing you can say, all right, there's nothing but matter. And this argument Krishna gives in verse number, looking ahead. Okay, suppose you think that there's nothing more than matter. Okay, this is it. Consciousness is just matter. There's no difference between you and a bottle of Coca-Cola or a glass of Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola bubbles and fizzes, and you bubble and fizz in your own way. This, but just, you know, basically, this is one set of chemicals, that's another set of chemicals. Now, why then should you lament over the loss of the body? Here on the shelf you have, you know, some bicarbonate or this or that bubbling away. You've got a little chemical solution. It's going bubble, 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 bubble. Maybe there's, to make it dramatic, there's a little smoke coming out. Some chemical reaction is going on. And over here you have me. And I'm nothing but a batch of chemical reactions going on and, you know, electrical pulses moving around, but batch of material stuff happening. Now, if that chemical reaction comes to an end, so what? So what? What does it matter? Here's a beaker of bubbly stuff on your shelf. Someone knocks it over. But if it's your wife, it's a whole different story. But according to the theory, there's no difference between your wife and that beaker of chemicals. Or between you and the beaker of chemicals. So what's the difference if you walk into the traffic against the red light? So what? Just chemicals changing state. Or looking at it digitally, here's a living being. 110011101010110, you know, it's just described by ones and zeros. That's what you finally reduce everything down to. And here's the same person dead. 00110110001. So what? What do you care? Why is this series of ones and zeros different from better or worse than that one? Here's 100,000 people living in Afghanistan or New York or something. Here they are living and here they are dead. This group is 110111001. This one is described as 011001. That's all it is. If everything's just matter and consciousness is nothing else than matter, then nothing matters. Life has no meaning. Which, okay, you know, we don't want to avoid the truth. If that's what the truth comes down to, that's what it comes down to. But then admit it. That's what your truth, that's where you lead. That's where your worldview leads. It doesn't, nothing matters. Including your research. Really, your Nobel Prize doesn't matter. Your chair in the university doesn't matter. The grant that you worked so hard to get so you could continue your work doesn't matter. Nothing matters. Because it's all just a batch of ones and zeros, and no string of digits is more significant or less significant than any other set. Whatever value is there is just whatever value we arbitrarily assign to them, but they have no inherent value this way or the other way. That's your worldview, finally. Live with it. Put it to him. If I shoot you, so what? Yeah, I want to win this argument the fast way. How am I going to do it? I'm going to shoot you. Don't shoot me. Well, why not? I'm just changing 00110 into 1011. It's just matter. What's so significant about this matter that you call you? And if it changes from one state to another, so what? Krishna gives that argument. How's that? Yes?
I think that earlier verses purport as mention of emanation, and given that, let's read the line. About Supreme Being understood as the relationship between the part and the whole. The Vedanta Sutra, the Celestial Srimad Bhagavatam.
I'll read it for you. Where is it? What?
Verse 16 purport.
Such emanations are experienced by superior and inferior natural sequences. What does that mean? Common question. Quick answer is, I don't know. And the faster answer is, as far as I understand, it means different kinds of energies, material, spiritual, and marginal. Parashya Shaktir Vidhidaiva Shriyate. The Supreme has different types of energies. Yes.
Being given a material measurement?
Good question. How is the soul being given a material measurement? 1/10,000th the tip of the hair. Seems that it has space. It takes up space. Not much space. A little bit. Well, yeah, it's not exactly a material point of view, but he's showing how it's not affected by material conditions. Is that a fair statement? It can't be cut, it can't be dried, it can't be blown away. That we'll come to. In fact, antabanta yime deha nityasyokta shariram anashino prameyasya tasmad yudyashvabha. Here's another argument that Krishna is giving, why Arjuna should fight. Antabanta ime deha. The body is going to come to an end anyway. Antabanta ime deha. The body is going to come to an end. Whatever you say, whatever you do, the body is going to come to an end. Nature of the body. Antabanta. It has a beginning, it has an end. Why shouldn't you fight? Nitya sokta shudhirna. And the person within the body is going to live forever. So you're not going to kill anyone. They're going to keep living. And the body that you kill is going to die anyway. So why not fight? Clear? What's their question?
Maharaj, in general, not related to any specific word, but in the previous one, we introduced by Krishna saying it's a supreme person, and then now Krishna is quoting learned persons or the seers of the truth.
Even Krishna. Even though Krishna is the supreme authority, he's so humble that he quotes Vedanta Sutra, he quotes sages, he quotes, gives the example of great souls like Janak Maharaj and so on.
And purpose also we see Prabhupada, because this Bhagavad Gita is a conclusion, and in the purpose we see the mentioning of other Upanishads and other verses, so it should, my limited understanding should be the other, like to prove the other, others, they are right, we quote Bhagavad Gita, but how does it make sense to pull parts from other Upanishads to say that Bhagavad Gita is true?
No, Prabhupada is not proving that Bhagavad Gita is true. No need. But he's... what would you say? Reinforcing it? Showing that the same thing is said elsewhere? Giving us a true understanding? Yeah. Otherwise, proving Bhagavad Gita's, but explaining by reference to similar references. Material body is perishable by nature. It may perish immediately or after 100 years. Question of time only. No chance of maintaining it indefinite. Yes?
There was a time when I was asking for the time, I used to hear that the soul is not really in the 10,000 suns. I can never.
What does it mean? How much energy is there in the soul? It's powerful. It's a little spark of the Supreme, but that spark, a powerful thing. That's also stated. Yeah, brilliant. Consciousness is a powerful thing. Matter is of little consequence. If you capture one, let me know. How would you do it? Set a trap?
There are
what?
Two black magicians.
Black magicians.
Who claim themselves that they are the coming to...
Oh, there he is. One now, black magician.
So they claim that they are capturing souls, they can hypnotize others, or they can through their mystic powers. I'm sure you have heard in any of this thing happen.
They can't capture the soul. The body, you can capture the soul in this way, that someone kidnaps you.
Yes.
So now your body is kidnapped.
Yes.
Captured. And the soul is in the body, so your soul is captured.
But after the death, can anyone kidnap the soul?
Do what?
After the death, can anyone, through his mystic power,
Are you worried?
Sorry?
Are you worried? Are you worried?
No, I'm not worried.
Mystic terrorist. Osama bin Laden's crossed over to the other side and now he's kidnapping souls.
Those who
they can't capture, the soul can't be captured. But the mind can be messed with. The soul, no one can touch the soul. The soul is beyond all material condition. But you can mess with the body, you can mess with the mind. You don't have to be a black magician, you can just be a woman. Excuse me?
Those who do all this in India.
There's all this stuff. First of all, a lot of it's just bluff. A lot of it's just bluff. Now somebody's got, you got to make a living somehow. First of all, a lot of it's just bluff. You got to make a living somehow. So I read tea leaves, or I do something and I tell you in the future this is going to happen, or I say I'm going to mix up this potion and she'll love you, be sure about that, you know, it's very special and I can't tell you what the formula is, it costs a lack of rupees, but it's all worth it, you know. So much of this stuff is just bluff. That's the first thing. Huge, huge proportion of it is just bluff. Now then you get to a small proportion where, okay, there are powers. Ishita, Vashita, Kame, read Nectar of Devotion, there are mystic powers. So by mystic power, people can bewilder people. Sometimes Prabhupada said some yogi gets a mystic power and then he convinces people that he's God, or he, you know, puts the whammy. Or I gave the simple example, you know, women do it all the time. You don't have to find some far out yogi with voodoo or mystic powers. Every woman knows how to do it. Focus on the topic at hand here. You know, we can talk about ghosts and mystic powers and voodoo and all this stuff. You know, there's so many things we can talk about. But let's focus on the topic at hand here. Topic at hand is that there's the body and there's the consciousness within the body. And the two are two different things. That's the point that Krishna's making. You know, we can talk about ghosts and the, you know, mystic powers and voodoo and black magic, and, you know, we can have a spoon bending, and, you know, a lot of things we can talk about in our short little class. But let's focus on the topic at hand, because it's very important. Crucially important. This is the most, but why is Prabhupada again and again coming to the same point. The whole world is bewildered and doesn't get it. We think that we're this body. One way or another way, we identify with this body, and therefore we're in perplexity. That's what Krishna's hammering on. And Arjuna doesn't say, yeah, but what about ghosts? But what about the 6 hours? Krishna's focusing on this crucial point. We should try to focus on it. Try to grasp the importance of what Krishna is saying here, because this is what's crucially important. And this is the essence of our preaching platform. It's not about, you know, how do I go from prema stage 1 to prema stage 2? It's not that. How do I understand that I'm not this body? How to explain to people, how to get the little light bulb to turn on so they can understand that they're not the body. That's what we're trying to do in so many different ways. Get them to understand that the body is not the self. And that's the fundamental mistake of the great philosophers, the great scientists, the great political leaders, they're all revved up about something that's ultimately of no consequence, because it only pertains to the body. And it's so deep in there. It's so embedded in the materialistic way of thinking. And from that, all the rest of the illusions proceed. This is essentially false ego means, thinking that I'm something I'm not, thinking that I'm the body and not understanding my real identity. And it's on the basis of that false ego that everything else develops in the material world. So Krishna is going right to the heart of the matter when he speaks to Arjuna, instructing him from the very beginning about this crucial difference between consciousness and matter, between the body, which is matter, and ourself, who's conscious. That distinction we're being asked to understand. And with that, take your leave, and we'll see you tomorrow. Thank you all very much. And there's just be there. Radheya's there with the goodies again. Just like the sunshine. When did this, how much, how long after the creation of the sun did the sunshine come into existence? It's always there. Sunshine, sun means sunshine. But Krishna means the living entity. We say expanded because one is the source and one is the emanation. But not that first comes this, then comes that in time. Krishna is the source, living beings are the emanation, eternally.
So he's eternally the source.
And we're eternally the emanation. Exactly right.
Thank you, Krishna. Okay. One of the